Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Billy Sutton Leadership Institute is dedicated to inspiring and preparing the next generation of leaders to build a stronger South Dakota and more vibrant communities and workplaces through service to others. Billy Sutton joins us today. He is former state senator, former candidate for governor, and he's with us on the phone. Billy Sutton, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Lori. Appreciate it.
How has the Burke, South Dakota region handled the wet spring and some of the recent weather we've been having?
Yeah, it's been pretty tough. People get through and get by. You know, we're a pretty tough lot in South Dakota, and you're seeing that, you know, big effects in Nebraska too. And we'll make it through, but it's been pretty tough for ranchers and farmers too.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about the Leadership Institute and tell us where the idea came from. When did it first get sort of forming itself in your mind?
Yeah, I think really after the election, it didn't go the way we had planned, but we had created such a movement of people that wanted something different, not just in politics, but even in how we solve problems in our communities. That was something that really came through as we had campaigned throughout South Dakota. And, you know, we decided that we wanted to continue to, you know, have an impact without being, you know, because I'm not in elected office anymore. And so how do I continue to, you know, work for a stronger South Dakota and to help our, you know, local communities? And this is really the idea that came from that, is that to empower the next generation of leaders to take action and to be involved in their communities in whatever fashion that looks like that makes the most sense for them.
Do you think people expected that of you? Did you feel like that was, you know, where a lot of people were looking at you saying, well, what are you going to do next? Or is that something that came from your own self-expectations that you looked around and said, what's next?
Yeah, I mean, probably a little of both. Yeah. I certainly, once the election was over, you know, I wanted to continue you know, the public service and to help build stronger communities and a stronger state. And I didn't know what that looked like because I'd been in, you know, elected office for the last 8 years and was hopefully looking forward to another 4 as governor. But just decided that I wanted to continue to give back to, you know, especially my community and communities all across South Dakota that had given so much to me throughout the years. And so that's part of it. But then the other part was that we had heard, you know, from a lot of people, you know, what's next for you? You know, people have been asking me to run again, or they've been asking, you know, what am I going to do? And, you know, this is one of the things that I think we can have a positive impact with.
All right, you said one of the things, so we'll come back to that later in case there are other things that you might do. But let's talk about how this institute works, and let's start with the board of directors and the partnerships you've formed to be part of this process with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a great board. You know, Judith Meyer Henry and Rob Oliver and, you know, Kevin Killer, then my wife Kelsey, just a great group and a very diverse group. Not only of, you know, men, women, Native American, but also of political affiliation. And that's one of the really important things for me, is that this be a bipartisan focus, because that's one of the things I constantly heard about throughout the campaign, too, is people are tired of politics as usual. And you've probably even heard me talk about that on your show at different times throughout the campaign and throughout the other media outlets, is that people are tired of this us versus them mentality. And so I think it's on all of us to work to build leaders that are focused on what's good for people and put people over politics. And so that's really the idea behind the makeup of the board as well, is that we have a diverse group that is going to focus on what's right.
We've spoken this week with Paula Hawks, who is the new chair of the Democratic Party in South Dakota, and Dan Lieberman, who is the ongoing chair of the Republican Party. And both of them talked about messaging and how that messaging is impacted by national conversations like the 2020 election. And they had different opinions on that. And I'm wondering what your opinion is as far as some of that, you know, conversation about a national election filters into South Dakota, and how do we filter it through our own, you know, South Dakota lens to say, This is useful to us. This is destructive to us, this kind of, you know, rhetoric. This is who we are and who we want to be. How do you look at that big picture, you know, national rhetoric?
Well, I think that's a good word to use is rhetoric. I mean, because there's a lot of rhetoric on both sides of the aisle. You know, people trying to get their message across and find the most effective message and things like that. I mean, that's going to be pretty common. You know, as far as from this institute's focus is going to be on solving problems. You know, I think that's what people are frustrated with in politics is people do a lot of talking, but not a lot of problem solving. And so, you know, I guess it goes back to the old adage that talk is cheap. You know, I mean, a lot of people can say a lot of things, but it takes action to get things done, and it takes working hard every day to get those things accomplished. I think that's what we want to instill in our students that are going to participate here is that, you know what, change doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of hard work, and it takes being involved and showing up and not just talking about it, but actually doing it. And I think that needs to be the focus moving forward, and I'd like to see more of that from politicians as well.
What are you looking for in students? Who applies to be part of the Leadership Institute and how?
You know, I think we have a pretty wide array because, you know, originally, I mean, I think when you think about it, you think of, you know, maybe students that are just out of college up to, you know, age 40, 45. But as we kind of even discussed it further with our team and with our board, was we said, well, you know, we're talking about a next generation of leaders, but I don't think we want to limit that to just an age group. You know, because we're going to look at applications from anybody that wants to have an impact on their community and that wants to build a stronger South Dakota by getting things done and finding common ground to do that. And so, you know, really anybody can apply. And you can apply at suttonleadership.org. You know, you can go online. There's a pretty easy to use website that you just hit apply and go through there. You can also nominate people that we will then reach out to and encourage to apply and that kind of thing. And so there's you know, a couple different ways to do it. So even if you don't want to apply personally and you know somebody, though, that might benefit from some leadership development and that, you know, wants to have an impact on their community, they just don't know where to start, you can nominate somebody as well on the same website.
Are you looking for people who want to specifically run for office? Is that sort of tangential to the overall idea of leadership?
No, not really. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to lead, whether that's within your business organization, whether that's running for office, whether that is just, you know, community projects or how you get involved to make change in your community on a certain issue. And, you know, so I don't think it's just for me anyway, it's not specific to people that are looking to run for office. You know, I think it's going to be a pretty wide array of folks. But certainly, you know, that is one of the ways that you can impact your community is to run for office. And at any level, whether that's, you know, school board or county commission or city council, I'm not even talking about the legislature. You know, it could be a lot of different things you could run for. But it can also be just wanting to have an impact in your community with a project or something you're interested in.
Tell me what, once people apply, what sort of process goes into building this sort of first group, you know, this cohort?
Yeah, so it's going to be a relatively smaller class for this first round. And if we find that works well, kind of a more intimate setting, then we may, you know, stick with that size. And we're going to accept around 10 to 12 students for the first round. We've already got a pretty good chunk of applicants, but we're, you know, we should have a pretty good group to kind of go through and choose from. We're going to have, I think our applications end May 6th, and then our first meetup is actually going to be the end of May, early June, where we're going to go to Chamberlain and have an in-person meeting there and bring in some, you know, program a couple neat speakers that people should really enjoy. One of the speakers is actually an individual that I got to hear when I went to a leadership program early on in my legislative career out in Madison, Wisconsin, through a program called Build, and just really opened my eyes to, you know, the opportunities that are out there if you apply yourself and you work hard. And so, the beginning class is going to get a neat opportunity to hear that individual. And then there will be digital meetups every other month. and then another in-person meeting in the fall, and it'd be a year-long program. And so just look forward to you know, giving people the opportunity to learn.
On the Institute's board of directors, and if you're just tuning in, my guest is Billy Sutton, and we're talking about the Billy Sutton Leadership Institute. The website for finding applications or for nominating somebody for the Institute is suttonleadership.org, and Billy is on the phone with us now from Burke. And on the board of directors, you mentioned Kevin Killer, former state senator, and Judith Meyer Henry, who is the first female South Dakota Supreme Court justice. How important is it to look at the people who live in the reservations that share our same geography, and to look to someone like Judith Meyer Henry, who really, as the first female Supreme Court, South Dakota Supreme Court justice, you know, had to overcome some barriers, had to be the first. Talk a little bit about inclusion and finding, intentionally finding people from all walks of life in this state, rural, urban, different backgrounds.
Well, I think one of the things that really resonated with people in my campaign was that even though we're incredibly different, we're very diverse as a people, we have more in common than not. And that is just so true as you sit down and talk to people about their lives and what they've gone through, and the importance of diversity and inclusion and bringing everybody to the table. And I think that is, you know, the makeup of our board is not an accident. I mean, it was intentional to find people to serve that give you a diverse look at South Dakota. And so that's one of the things that I was really excited about this, is that, you know, as far as the makeup of the classes go, we're going to focus on making sure it's diverse as well. So you bring people together with different ways of thinking to work together to solve problems. And I think that's what it takes is, you know, you can talk to somebody that's just like you all day long and agree on everything. But you got to get outside your boundaries a little bit and have conversations with people that maybe think not exactly the same as you, but you're going to find out that we have so much more in common than what we disagree on. And that's, I think, how you solve problems.
Are you optimistic that that has resonance and traction in South Dakota after going through, you know, the campaign process, after seeing, you know, some of the, you know, the back and forth dialogue and the divisiveness in America right now? What gives you hope that people working across the aisle and from different backgrounds to solve problems in their community is possible, and not something that's sort of fading away?
I think what gives me so much hope is how close we came to winning that race. When you look at the historical, you know, that hasn't happened in a long time, to get 48% and to be that close. Something resonated with people about the message, and the main message that we carried was, like, it's time to set politics aside and solve problems and bring people together to solve those problems. And I think you saw that a lot of people from both sides of the aisle, or from an independent standpoint, really resonated with them. And so I'm very confident, especially even what we've continued to hear from people after the campaign, is that, you know, we need to continue that conversation. And I think we'll do that.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about how this is a family affair for you, as your wife is on the board of directors as well. And one of the things I remember during the campaign saying to somebody, I think it was on the Dakota Political Junkies, was once I saw the ad with her, I was like, she's one to watch. You know, she was just a great presence and a really thoughtful person, is how she came across. I've never met her in person. So tell us a little bit about that.
I tell you what, there's no doubt in my mind that I married up. she is very intelligent. She's a practicing attorney. She always did really well in school, but I think one of the best things about Kelsey is her love and passion for her community, and how important community involvement is, and how important economic development is to your local community. I mean, she serves on our local economic development board. She's helped start a number of organizations, from our daycare to a fitness center to a farmer's market. So she has a lot of experience in, you know, community development, and economic development within your small community, especially. I mean, that's been her experience. And so she brings a really neat experience to the table as a board member and just as a very caring, honest individual that wants what's best for her community. And so I think you'll find that pretty much all the board members, I mean, that was one of the things that drew me to really all of them is that they care about their communities and want to see them improve.
I was going to say that at the dinner table, you guys are must have some pretty interesting conversations, and it's probably not just about Game of Thrones, but maybe there's some Game of Thrones in there too.
Well, we do love the show Game of Thrones. It's back on now, and we have enjoyed that. But actually, our conversations are probably most interesting because of our 3-year-old son Liam. He's going to be 3 on the 29th, and he really drives the conversation probably more than anything, and that's been really fun.
and he'll be part of that conversation for some time to come. He's probably one to watch as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I guess we'll see. You know, some people say you got to be a little crazy to be in politics sometimes, especially this day and age. And so we'll see if his involvement continues as the years go on.
The Billy Sutton Leadership Institute around the kitchen table, but there's actually one that you can be a part of, the Billy Sutton Leadership Institute, suttonleadership.org. And Billy, thank you so much for being with us again. We really appreciate it. Talk to us again as this sort of unfolds and moves on. We'd appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely will, and really appreciate you taking the time and for all of your work, and you guys do an awesome job. So thanks for having me on, and have a great rest of the day.